Turn with me to Colossians, the book of Colossians, chapter 4. Book of Colossians, chapter 4. I'm sorry, chapter 3. I don't know what I'm doing in 4. That's next week. Chapter 3. And we have been talking about, last week we talked about everything that we are to give up, put off, and now we're being asked to put on. And God is after us for an exchange that we've been talking about. So much the Holy Spirit's been talking to us this morning about who we are and what we're to do. I don't know what it is about this period of time in this nation especially. Everybody feels like their opinion counts. Can I just say in Rick language, not Holy Ghost language, God could give a hill of beans what your opinion is. Because only God knows what's going to be. I've heard it quoted over and over again in my own spirit as I'm praying. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man what God has laid up in store for us. God's in charge. And so it's time for us. He's empowered us by salvation and the presence of His Holy Spirit. We are now able to put on or walk into things that identify us as kingdom citizens. Those who walk as conquerors and overcomers. The whole theme this morning has been just that, victorious, overcoming. God has given us all the tools necessary to complete us for success and leaves us with the choice to use them or not. That's the caveat. He doesn't make us walk in victory. It's our choice to walk in victory. You are God's choice for your position in your family, your work, your social environment. God chose you to be in that place. It's not an accident that you are who you are, you live with who you live with, and you're in this community. I believe that with all my heart. It's not an accident. God's sovereignty has placed us. He is the kingdom that He's building. His is the kingdom to be built with you and I. He's not looking for plan B. His aim is to use you the same way He used the words when He said, "Let there be." When He said, "Let there be light," there was light. When He said, "Let there be," come on, somebody. And He has placed you in this His kingdom for today. We're talking about character this morning, and character is never a given, it's always a choice. The choices in our life compile our character. What we choose to do compiles our character. It makes up who we are, what we choose to do. And I believe that we can change the whole atmosphere of what's become caustic in our society. Our society can no longer sit and take civil conversation as serious. Everybody's argumentative. My Bible says not to argue, not to enter into vain wranglings. Come on, somebody. You may win the argument and lose the soul. Come on, somebody. Nobody needs to be told they're wrong. The Holy Spirit is doing His job of convicting the world of sin. And that's why they're so angry. Because they know they're not in the will of God and they're angry and lashing out. My rights. I have my rights. God, You fill me. You do with me. You speak with me the way I am. If You don't want me the way I am, I'm not going to get You. But we have to tell them that God loves them. He'll convict them of sin. It's not our job to convict of sin. It's our job to love. It's our job to tell them God has a plan for their life. Come on, someone. We've chosen the other path. And I'm saying, how's that working for you? We're seeing more people leave the church than are coming to church. Seeing a lot of organizations grow, but I'm wondering if it's the church or it's a hybrid of the church. Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but I'm not seeing a lot of gates of hell not prevailing. I'm seeing the gates of hell prevailing in our young people. I'm seeing the gates of hell prevailing in our educational system. I'm seeing the gates of hell prevail in our entertainment system. Come on, someone. So how do we fight that? How do we come against all of that? And Colossians really speaks to this in this passage in Colossians 3, if you'll read with me from verse 12 to 17. Says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ also forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Know your position, and your direction will come into focus. Let me repeat that. Know your position, who you are and what you are, where, what you're supposed to be doing, and direction will come into focus. Romans says that all of creation is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's been going on literally since Jesus ascended into heaven. All of creation groaning and saying, where are the sons and daughters of God? Chaos reigns. Over here, a little pocket here, a little pocket there. Oh, you know, it's us four and no more. It's just our few of us that are hanging on to the glory. Well, how many know? Danny talked about it this morning. The glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. I was contemplating that one day and thinking, how can you dig a hole in water? Dig a hole, it fills up with the water. Doesn't say the Spirit of the Lord will cover the earth as the dirt covers the ground. Because I can dig a hole in the dirt. All I got's a hole. The Spirit of the Lord wants to cover the face of the earth. How does that begin? By you and I being obedient. He speaks directly to us. He's been telling us all through Colossians about what we're not to do. He's telling us who we are. He identifies us in chapter 1 and part of chapter 2. He identifies that, and then he begins to talk about what not to do and what to take off. And now he's talking about character, which is a choice. Because we're free, we can choose to do what we want to do. We have freedom of choice, but not freedom of consequences. We're living in a world that's a mess. But he speaks to us as the elect of God, those chosen before the foundations of the world. I don't have time to develop it this morning. Just by faith, know that your name was chosen before anybody knew who you were. Your name was chosen. Your life was chosen to serve God before the worlds began. You are not an accident in where you are and who you are. You are the elect of God. And therefore, there's a responsibility as the elect of God to walk as the elect of God. Those anointed to hear for this time, for this place, Those who see what God has in store by faith, that's who we are. You know, humans are the most resilient things ever. We invent so that we do not have to do without. Come on, somebody. We are purveyors of the easy life. Come on, someone. How many remember going over to the little black and white TV with the rabbit ears and the tin foil on the rabbit ears? Running over and turning the channel, banging the side of it till it came in. You were happy to get black and white with just a little snow in the back. And then just when you got settled down with your food and your TV tray, remember the old TV trays? The vertical hold would just go. And then the horizontal hold would. And you missed your show. There was no taping shows. Nobody knew there was going to be a rerun of that show. You missed 10 or 15 minutes trying to get the thing. So somebody somewhere said, I got it. I'm not going to get up. I'm going to stand with the remote. How many remember the big old cloggy remotes we first got? That only worked some of the time. We are creatures that are convenient oriented. We want everything at our fingertips. It's ease. Come on, someone. But yet in the body of Christ, we're still doing stuff the way we did hundreds of years ago. It didn't work then. It's not working now. And very few people have the guts to say, this ain't working. The church is not working. We've not become effective. We've not changed anything. We've been allowed our little corner of the world. But how many know God wants us to change? We're the elect of God. We were chosen from the foundations of the world. What, just to take up space? No, to establish His kingdom. Heaven has given us the creative word in our mouth so that what is and what will be is directly given to us on our shoulders to speak into existence. In our personal lives, in our relationships, in our communities. So He calls us the elect of God. And He says, holy and beloved. Someone's holy is set apart and pure without the stain of sin. You are holy. Come on, someone. God has set you apart. Made you holy. How many know when God makes you holy, you're holy? What's that mean? That means that sin has no hold over me. Am I talking to the right people? You know, we think we have to sin. Of course, we're sinners. No, we're not sinners. We're the righteousness of God in Christ. So our nature is to be holy. We have to go against our nature to sin. Paul is addressing you and I. He's addressing you individually when he says, elect, holy, and beloved. I love that. You are holy because Christ lives in you. Just a couple scriptures to reinforce that. Romans 8:29, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Whether you know it or not, when you yield to God, God is chiseling away at you for you to look just like Jesus. Come on, somebody. Made in His image. You know what I'm talking about. Come on, someone. It's almost scary when you begin to recognize the character of Jesus in you. When all of a sudden something comes, a challenge comes, or your wife says something, your husband says something, and instead of the old, yes, dear. You're right, dear. Come on, somebody. Every husband knows about that. Then in Ephesians 1:4, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Christian, you are beloved. You are the chosen loved one. But God, who is rich in mercy, in 2:4, Ephesians 2:4, just over a page, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace we have been saved. God fashioned us to be holy and beloved. From the foundations of the world. Many times, if you're like me, you go to God and say, are you sure you made the right choice? There are other people you could have chosen and you picked me. I've got all kinds of problems. And God said, I knew that before I chose you. Yield to me and I'll make you the person that I want you to be. So Paul begins to address what is going to get the work done. What prevented the work in chapter 2 and chapter 3, if you read that again, just rehearse that. What prevented the work of happening is because we didn't quite know who we were, and we still were walking around with anger and filthy language and blasphemy and all those other things. Paul is addressing Christians and saying, you can't do that anymore. So hopefully God has worked on your heart and you've reached a place where those things are now in your past. Because those two are a choice. And then he says to put on, and you know this is not just a one-time thing. It's not we put on something and it lasts forever. God is eternal, but each day we have a choice to put on these things. It's an ongoing lifestyle. We are presented with choices every day. So he says, put on, number one, tender mercies. So that's compassion and pity. Out from underneath our robe of righteousness falls the robe of legalism. We want everybody to be exactly like we want them to be. How many know sinners are going to be sinners? And they're going to be good sinners. Come on, you were a good sinner when you were a sinner. Compassion and pity, a real caring for others that can only be carried by a child of God. Boy, if this world ever needed tender mercies, it needs it now. There are disenfranchised children by the score that don't know who they are. Parents have either ignored them to a point of mental illness or rode them, beat them verbally and physically. Our society is full of them. They need tender mercies. Maybe you have relatives that are in that same. You need to have compassion on them and pity, not judgment. Don't run away from them. God puts you in that situation. Number two, he tells us to put on kindness. Moral kindness, integrity. Don't worry about the outcome. You are not the judge, the jury, and the executioner. Be kind to those people. Be kind to one another. God will work all that out. Come on, somebody. Shouldn't tell this story, but when Terry and I first met, you know, she was 20, so she wasn't legally allowed to drink. So we got her a false ID so we could get into the bar. Come on, somebody. Am I the only one to do that? Come on. Snuck in and we think somehow that people are going to get away with something. People are not going to get away with anything. In the end, everything will be exposed. But we feel like we need to have it exposed now. Especially on Facebook, man. Don't step out of line in Facebook. Man, if we had, you know, if Facebook had guns, we'd have firing squads. We would, man. Somebody has them. Take them out. We're supposed to be kind. God will work all that out. Nothing gets by Him. There's no fake IDs. Nobody's sneaking into the kingdom unbeknownst to the rest of us. Come on, somebody. Give God some credit. He says to put on humility. Know who you are and where you came from. Independence and pride have no business together. We get this idea that we're all that in a bag of chips. I am who I am by the grace of God. Without Him, I'm nothing. Come on. Bible says, without Him, I'm not. I like to say I'm zero with the rim kicked off. I don't have anything to give God unless He gives it to me. So we're to be humble. Put on meekness, gentleness, and mildness. Where did we ever get the idea that being rude was going to win somebody to Christ? Where did we ever get that idea? Where we chastise people for being sinners. Oh, you filthy, gays, you filthy lesbians, you filthy, communists, you filthy. Come on, somebody, they're blind. They don't know, they're deceived. Love them. I'm convinced that most people are just trying to make it. Yes, there's a few enemies of the cross. We can talk about that at another time. There's a few that are trying to, they're so full of Satan they want to get. But God's going to take care of that too. He said, get in your prayer closet and do warfare. Principalities and powers. We don't fight against flesh and blood. But yet we still see, especially Christians, fighting against somebody that doesn't know any better. Therefore, you don't know any better if you're fighting that kind of battle. Put on long-suffering, patience, endurance, steadfastness. Hang in there. God's got it under control. One of the biggest things that helped me with peace, and we'll talk about that in a minute, was I got the revelation that God is in control. He actually knows what He's doing. Then Paul says this, he says, bear with one another. Bearing with one another. Well, he's talking to the Christian now. We just had Alan Bickle in here a couple weeks ago, and he saw people that were he graduated high school with. But there are Christians that used to come here that when they left, they stopped talking to everybody, and they still hold some hold grudges that happened 20, 30 years ago. How many know that should never be? There probably shouldn't have been division in the first place, but we can't go back and redo history. But we bear with one another. This is a marathon, not a sprint. We got to work it out. It will come full circle when God wants it to. Walk with your family also. Bear with your family. They think you went nuts. When I was first saved, man, I was a dangerous man. I wasn't a light. I was a welding torch. You didn't look at me, you'd get your burnt eyes burned. And so I went over to my brother's house. My mom was there. And man, I preached a good message about how they were sinners and needed saved. And my brother was so impressed, he threw me out his front door. That's how impressed he was. Threw me out his front door. Broke the glass, broke the hinge on the door, and screamed at me all the way to my car, don't ever come back. Wasn't too good of a message, I guess. My brother is serving Christ today. Had nothing to do with me. He called me up one day and he said, you know what, I forgive you. I heard what you had to say, but the Spirit, you said it. You don't know how you hurt me. He said, but God planted seed in me then, and now I've received Christ. Thank you. But it was a seed that was, it hurt to put that seed in his heart. Bear with one another. Forgiving one another. Can you believe it? Forgiving one another. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Now, wait a minute. God, you don't know what they did to me. Jesus said, hold my lemonade. Look what they did to Christ. They beat him. They ripped his beard out. Come on, somebody. They told stories about him, left him, turned back from him. He was despised and rejected more than any man, Scripture says. You don't think Jesus knew what you went through? Are you going through? Forgive also as Christ forgave you, so you must do. I would have liked it much better. My ego would have said, I'll obey it if you say, if you could you forgive like I forgive you? Could you consider this? No, he said, you must do. I said, now watch this. If we're holding anything back from what God told us, we are not going to receive all that he has for us. We're asking for all of him to come and fill us and take care of us and financially, spiritually, mentally, physically. God, do all this. And yet we are holding things in our hearts against people. God can't work his fullness in us until we give all to him. Come on, somebody. Forgiving one another, just as Christ forgave you, this you must do. How did he forgive you? What did you do? He forgave you. You are not alone in your choices, and you are not alone in your election. Did you ever feel like a pair of brown shoes in a black tie affair? Come on, somebody. Did you ever feel like you're just out of place? Say, man, I'm a Christian, but I don't get all this. This is kingdom stuff. God's talking about us, to us. Then he says, put on love. The one constant in the word is the love of God. Romans 5:5 says, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The love of God poured out in our hearts. Now, I don't know about you, but God doesn't fill the glass half full. He fills to overflowing. So how do we access God's love? Just access it. He pours out his love. Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. That's a continual pouring. The love of God deposited in us. He's got your back. He's got your six. He's got you covered. The love of God. Man, that separates the men from the boys. Separates the women from the girls. Come on. We've got to love people that are the unlovable. That's a strong, strong word. Because I can come up with all kinds of valid excuses why I don't want to love somebody. Very valid as far as I'm concerned. But you know what God thinks of that? Then he says this, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. One of the things that's got me through, one of the most vicious groups of people can be Christians. I'll tell you that as a pastor. I'll tell you what most pastors won't tell you. I've been flayed and beaten and told lies on because I'm a pastor. Come on, somebody. But the one thing that's got me through this is this right here. The peace of God that passes all understanding guards my heart. And when I don't have peace, I stop. It's absolutely imperative in our character that we walk in peace. Walk in love, but we walk in peace. Watch this. Just a couple scriptures and we'll close. Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. God doesn't give you peace. He gives you perfect peace. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. How does the world give peace? In very little drops. We get some peace and we know that something's going to happen. The other shoe's going to drop. Come on, someone. Our whole society is built on that. Oh, everything's okay, but you know, we know it's not if, but when it comes. The peace of God is given to us. It never is taken away, despite what's happening around us. And look at the peace of Jesus when he was laying dead asleep in the boat. The waves are crashing. Fishermen that had been fishermen their whole life weren't just pontificating when they said, if you don't help us, we're going to die. How many know fishermen knew that storm would kill them? Jesus said, peace be still. I have a feeling after all that, that he just went back and laid down again and said, okay, wake me up when we get there. Come on. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace, John 16:33. In the world you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So no matter how bad things get, and things have gotten bad in my life and probably yours, I go home, close my door, sit with my wife, and speak about the peace of God. He'll take care of that. He'll take care of those that come against me. He'll take care of the battles. It's not my battle, it's the Lord's. Peace in us will not change the turmoil around us, but it will sustain us. This is character we're talking about. The very essence of the kingdom, Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Promised peace is an absolute necessity in our life. Absolutely necessary that we're peaceful. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I don't know where the peace comes from. I know it comes from God. I can't figure it out. I don't know how it's there, but it's always there. And when it's not, I stop until it is. And if you'll take that one thing on, all these things before will work out. Tender mercies, humility. Because out of a place of peace, you're able to dress in the power of God. Peace that reigns, guided by and protected by peace, ruled by peace. Not just reigning, but ruling over our emotions. And he said, you were called into one body. I'll just put this out. I'll probably get arguments. There are no multiple churches in any city in the Word of God. I cannot find where any city's had 20 or 30 churches. They had one church. Twentieth century phenomenon when people started meeting in other buildings. We don't agree with you, so we'll go down here and start another building. Start another thing. How many know God made the church one, and we need to get back to that? I don't know how that's going to work. It's not my job to figure it out, but it is my faith that knows it's going to be. Come on, someone. The church has to go through change or we'll become what we are right now. No impact at all. If we're going to impact and change our environment, we're going to have to be what God called us to be. Called in one body. We are one. We must be one to bring a lasting reaping of souls. Then he says, be thankful. Thank God for all you have. You did not get it. God allowed it in your life. He gave it to you. In all the complaining that we have in our society, give thanks. Man, we complain so much. We become so demanding. Come on. Can you believe the internet didn't work well today? I had to wait 10 minutes to get my email today. What's wrong with that RCTV? Don't they know what they're doing? We complain about everything. Or others complain. I'm talking about everybody else outside this building. I'm sorry, I'm not picking on you. Everybody else complains, but we don't. Give thanks to God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. He says that we live on the word of Christ. By the way, he was speaking to those that only had the Old Testament. and very little of that. The entirety of God's Word is us, ours. All of the Word is suitable. Let it dwell in you richly, abundantly. Carry it with you. Read it often. Meditate it. Speaking life to one another. When we're assembled together, forget about the farm equipment and the deer you just shot. Talk about the life of God. Talk about the goodness of God. Talk about what God's doing, because we need that. And then it ends with this challenge. At whatever you do, and God spoke to us today. Nobody talked to Ashley and John about where we were. They read ahead, but man, and those prophetic words that came forth, the theme was, He wants all of us. Watch what it says. Whatever you do in word or deed, whatever. Underline whatever. Circle it. Put stars around it. Whatever. What does whatever mean? You know what whatever means in the Greek? Whatever. So whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. My question this morning, are you all in? Are you expecting to reap what you have sown? What have you sown? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, that shall you reap. Oh God, why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? And God says, the only time I hear from you is when you want something. Are you all in? Are you expecting to reap what you have sown? Is there life in your words and your actions? Are you a good Christian 2 to 3 hours a week or 168 hours a week? You can change the atmosphere in your home today. You can make a decision to change your life right now. It's within your power to say, that's it. From here on out, I'm going to be all in for God. I'm going to put on tender mercy. I'm going to have the character of Christ. I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to walk in peace. I don't care what happened yesterday. I'm not a prisoner of yesterday. Come on, somebody. I'm a son of today. Whatever happened yesterday, I'm putting behind. That's within your, as we pray to close, that's within your. And you say, how can God do that so quickly? I don't know. Ask Him. But He does it. I mean, no, He changes things instantly when we line up, when we have alignment with God's Word. God says, okay, I can do everything I promised I can do. Marriages can be healed just like that if you'll give in to God. Come on, someone. I believe I've got the Word of God behind me. That's all I need. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly, more than we ever ask or hope for. If you have not applied these truths in your life, do it today. Don't delay. You have no promises for tomorrow. So, Father, I pray today, God, we're all adults here. Lord, I'm looking across, except for a few visitors today. I know people that have walked with you for years. And Lord, there's been things that have held us. Prisoners of our choices. So, Father, we give those to you this morning. Heavenly Father, it's a holy time right now. Nobody looking around, nobody antsy, gathering stuff so you have to leave. All of that will happen. This is a godly, holy time. God, deal with our hearts today. That miracle that you promised me. This is the day I want to receive that miracle. I give you all of me. Please give me all of you. We leave these things at your feet today. God, when we leave this room, we're leaving stuff. Character traits that have gotten us in trouble. God, some of us could barely speak to our wife and our husband. Barely say anything civil to each other, God, because we've lost your character. God, help us this morning. Let revival come in my heart, Lord. Let revival come in my home, Lord. Have your way. Have your way. Phone calls need to be made. Statements need to be spoken. Don't delay. Do what you know you need to do today. Today is the day of salvation. While it is today, do not harden your hearts. We thank you and praise you, Lord. Thank you for all you do. Thank you for divine appointments. We give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.